This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bites on a Friday, 28th of April. My name is Arvind Yuvaraj, and with me today is Angeline Tay.
Yeah, you know what to do, right? We've been doing this for 4 days in a row. Everyone's on holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you should be honored because this is my last Enterprise Biz Bites, and I'm really sad to say.
Oh, no.
So anyway, before we head into our stories today, I just want to say that our buy one, free one ticket for Enterprise Rocks is ending this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, head on to bfm.my/rocks.
Yeah, so we've got retail icons lined up for the event, like Hans-Peter Ressel from Lazada Malaysia, Lisette Shears from Nala Designs, Hugh Koh from Pestle and Mortar. Like, you name it and we've got it. Just go check out bfm.my/rocks and get your seats today.
Let's get back to business.
Yeah, so for our first story, Jimmy Wales is the founder of Wikipedia, and he is launching a news platform that will bring journalists together with an army of volunteer fact-checkers, and he's calling the site Wiki Tribune. The main goal of the website is fighting fake news. That's, you know, everyone's talking about fake news nowadays, which sounds like something everyone on social media needs right now.
Yeah, and he says that a team at Wiki Tribune wants to make sure that you read fact-based articles that have a real impact in both local and global events. So the site will basically publish news stories written by professional journalists, but in a page borrowed from Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Internet users will be able to propose factual corrections and additions to the site as well. So I guess both sites will work hand in hand.
Yeah, basically.
And yeah, once that is done, the changes will be reviewed by volunteer fact checkers.
Yeah, but see, that part is a bit like a little iffy, because I love Wikipedia and I can't tell you like how many times and how many assignments it has helped me finish, like during school and my college days. But the fact is, Wikipedia isn't exactly super accurate either. It's more of a crowdsourced platform, and a lot of facts on Wikipedia, especially about people, are not always 100% true. But coming back to Wiki Tribune, it says that it will be transparent about its sources, and it will post the full transcripts of interviews as well as video and audio to the maximum extent possible.
Yeah, they're also using terms like factual and neutral. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Wales also says that the site takes professional standards-based journalism and incorporates the radical idea from the world of Wiki that a community of volunteers can and will reliably protect the integrity of information.
Yeah, the interesting part about Wiki Tribune is that the project will be funded through contributions from supporters instead of advertising or subscriptions, which I guess makes sense, because the moment advertisers come in, you sort of put a barrier or a bias around yourself. I mean, when you think about fake news, it's basically designed to show us what we want to see and confirm our biases.
Yeah.
And, you know, to keep us clicking at all costs, right? It fundamentally breaks the news, and Wiki Tribune wants to counter that effect and break fake news instead by being like a one-stop hub for, you know, actually getting the right news out there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty impressive, but experts are really skeptical about this, right? Some are saying that any initiative that boosts trust and transparency in journalism is welcome, but the danger is that it will appeal to the sort of people who are already media literate. This is the idea of existing in our own bubbles again.
Yep.
It's the exact reason why Trump's win at last year's election came as such a shock to everyone. People who are not media literate or who live in the fake news believing bubble are just going to ignore Wiki Tribune altogether, just like they ignore every other factual media outlet out there.
Yeah, which is why people say education is the most important thing. Like, you have to reach out of your bubbles and get them to understand what's fake and what's not, right? And by the way, in recent years, Wikipedia has actually invested in new technology to identify what it calls Wikipedia vandalism. And it has also hired more administrators to police the site. So, you know, that's some good progress there, I guess.
Yeah, and Wikipedia recently started barring citations from the Daily Mail after branding the tabloid newspaper as generally unreliable. I think that's a less offensive way of calling it a tabloid.
Yeah, just call it the tabloid.
And some of the news items from the Daily Mail are actually, you know, really silly.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and haunted houses, whatever. But you know what doesn't sound silly? Being able to cut water usage and preserve resources resources by 90%. So a Swedish technology startup called Orbital Systems says that it has found a way to apply technology meant for preserving water in space here on Earth as well.
Wow, yeah. And so for our second story of the day, this is a startup founded by Merdat Majubi, who is also an industrial designer. So Majubi, however, he's worked on a NASA project back in 2012 by developing systems for a possible Mars mission. And when it comes to long space flights, preservation of limited resources is very, very crucial to the mission and survival of the people on board. So one of those resources that, you know, we take for granted is water. So Majubi's company has basically developed a shower system that cuts water usage by, as the company claims, a dramatic 90%.
Which is huge.
It's huge. Yeah. And it does this by creating a kind of loop. So conventional showers that we all use are incredibly wasteful because the water they pump out is just simply washed away without, you know, touching our skin or soap.
Yeah, and that's what Orbital System wants to fix, because they say that the product uses sensors to detect water that is uncontaminated and simply loops it back round to be reused. Now, that's ideal for astronauts, but according to Majubi, the same system can be used to preserve resources and cut consumer and industrial water bills here on Earth as well.
Yeah, so he's applying this motherhood and apple pie principle. And very few people would argue that a system offering to use 90% less water while also reducing utilities bills is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, yeah, 90%.
Yeah, so but Orbital Systems is aware that it is not coming to the market with a product that will immediately appeal to the mass of consumers. The general public will have a lot of questions to ask first, like how clean is the reused water exactly?
Yeah, and that's the same thing that came up. Remember when Singapore wanted to recycle their water? That's the same argument that came up. People were like, how clean is this water exactly? And but look at where it is now. The thing is, they've already started testing this out. The company has already sold some units to individuals in California, which is an area where incomes are high and water is quite scarce. So they need it and they can afford it. But the company also acknowledges that the cost of a bathroom or shower room unit is going to be kind of, it's too expensive for individuals in some parts of the world where incomes are lower, even if the water is in very, very, very short supply.
Yeah, and there are other costs to consider as well. The cost may even stop affluent consumers in wetter parts of the world where there is less preservation factor and water is more of a thing that they take for granted, like here. They might see a dramatic long-term saving, but that has to be weighed against the upfront cost.
Yeah, so here's the business plan at the moment. The company is focused on targeting consumers who use water in industrial quantities. They're about to begin marketing to gyms, hotels, and fitness centers, and customers who are high consumers of water who will be able to see a clear-cut ROI. And in order to target customers, either commercial or, you know, consumers, the company has to develop its own production facilities in Sweden, plus an operation in the US. Outsourcing manufacturing just wasn't an option for them at the moment. So this is like a really big scheme that these guys have going on here.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a problem for Orbital. They've got some pretty big investors backing them up. Since its commercial launch around 2 years ago, Orbital Systems says it has saved over 10 million liters of water, and it is the company's ambition to set a new standard for shower technology. As costs come down, there will be more opportunities to capture more of the consumer market through installation in new build homes and or when the relatively affluent upgrade their facilities.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, there's a bunch of companies like racing to leverage on the shortage of water and to recoup an investment by focusing on big users of water. So we'll just have to, you know, wait and see who makes it there first. Also, we're going to take a short break for some music and some messages. And when we come back, we'll talk about how Calvin Klein has signed a 73-year-old model for their new underwear campaign. That's up next, BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Angie and Arvin on the Friday edition of Enterprise Biz Bytes. Let's talk about Calvin Klein for a second. So Calvin Klein has launched its new underwear campaign that features a celebrity lineup. And in that lineup is a 73-year-old model and actress named Lauren Hutton, which means that Calvin Klein has included a septuagenarian, that's a hard word to say, in the septuagenarian, in their new ad campaign, which should be something to give kudos to, right? right? Mm-hmm. But Angie and myself, yeah, we watched the minute-long ad and we don't think Calvin Klein is as progressive as they think they
yeah,
are.
Just a disclaimer, this is not a tabloid show. Yeah, like no. We talked about Daily Mail earlier, right? Yeah, so we'll actually link the ad up on our podcast page so you can watch it there. Just get the BFM app and look for today's Biz Bytes. But it's basically a minute-long black and white montage about a dozen models and celebrities under Calvin Klein's catalog modeling their new line of underwear. And there's a brief second where you see Lauren sort of turning around and smiling at the camera. But the problem we have with is that she's only there of who is in the same age bracket as the rest. Yeah. So, you know, but they also don't do anything to highlight her at all, you know? I don't know. She was just at the tail end for a split second.
For a split second. Yeah. You hardly even see her or know that she's there, right? Mm. So it looks more of like a gimmick than them actually trying to be like inclusive.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Because if you want to highlight women of all ages, then why is she the only one who's way older than everyone else in this campaign? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the ad was actually directed by Sofia Coppola. She's the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola, who's like a huge filmmaker. And she's an acclaimed filmmaker as well. Just to give you a clue of who else is in this ad, there's Kristen Dunst, there's Rashida Jones, Natalie Love, there's Laura Harrier, Maya Hawke, who is the daughter of actor Ethan Hawke, one of the big, great actors of the 90s, and Chase Sui Wonders, which is one of the coolest names that I've heard, Sui Wonders. So here's the thing, a lot of these women aren't exceptionally young, but they also don't look their ages either. Like, Rashida Jones is 41, but then she looks 25. So you can't say that they're being inclusive to average women in their 40s by highlighting a model in her early 40s who looks like she could pass for 25. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not saying that 40 needs to look 40. I'm just saying that even regular, average 25-year-olds don't look like the models in this ad who are in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah, so you have a bunch of people in their 20s, 30s and 40s, and then all of a sudden there's a Lauren in her 70s, and she's barely shown doing anything. Everyone else in the video even models the new line of underwear, except for Lauren here, which is a bit weird because then why is she even in this campaign?
Yeah, exactly. So there are a couple of other videos on her on CK's page, but they barely show her modeling their new lineup in those as well. So this feels more like a, you know, like a gimmick than anything else. Like, yeah. Oh, we have like a 73-year-old in our ad. And don't get the wrong idea. We're not bashing Calvin Klein, but if you look at their past ads and campaigns, some of them are borderline raunchy and like something from an adult magazine, so it's a bit iffy. They released one campaign where there's a girl who looks like a teenager standing above a camera and she's wearing a skirt. So you know how that, you know what that looks like, you know, and they received a lot of heat for that one.
Yeah. By the way, Lauren Hutton is actually also signed to H&M, and their ad is actually pretty cool because it highlights a bunch of women who are actually diverse from all walks of life.
Yeah, H&M has always put on some like pretty cool ads, and the one that Lauren is in is nice because it's a montage of women with different jobs, different colors, different body types, and you know, in different comfort zones. Like, there's a shot of woman who hasn't shaved, like, you know, she hasn't shaved under her arms. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, we don't care, because sometimes in real life, people who are busy genuinely don't have time to do that. I mean, that's how you highlight everyday people and make them feel like the ad is made for them, right? By showing things from everyday life that might not be comfortable to show, you know, on other ads like this, on other fashion ads.
Exactly. Mm. And you can't fault Lauren Hutton for being in this campaign either. It's just that maybe Calvin Klein needs to rethink how to use models like this in their ads to be truly diverse and progressive and not just as a gimmick in the background, right? So hopefully they'll come up with something interesting for her. It'll be interesting to see a billboard of an underwear model in her 70s. That will be a good way to make a statement.
Yeah, so we'll just have to see how this plays out. We're off to another short break while you go YouTube those videos. Please don't YouTube those videos while you're in traffic or driving somewhere, though. Wait until you get back to the office or wherever you're going. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
Angie and Arvin on Enterprise Biz Bytes. All right, fake news, falsehood. We're back on this topic again for today. Second time for today. Yeah, because fraudsters that are spreading falsehood on social media are getting more sophisticated.
Exactly, right? And it's not just one person sharing fake articles, but now it's like a concerted effort. It's a proper coordinated campaign that spread lies using fake accounts. And now Mark Zuckerberg is aiming at those organized organizations that launches such campaigns to sway political opinion and spread lies.
Yeah, and Facebook said that as the network grows and becomes a forum for political debate, some organizations have even taken advantage maliciously, including during the elections of in the US and France. They admit that they have a responsibility to act when users are being manipulated through a new category of attack it calls information operations.
And Facebook now has to expand their security focus from traditional abusive behavior such as account hacking, malware, spam, to include a more subtle and insidious forms of misuse. And that includes attempts to manipulate civic discourse and deceive people.
Yeah, and that's like crazy, right, if you think about it. Because now via like sponsored posts, almost anyone can anyone now can penetrate into your personal space and potentially sway your opinion. There are also organizations out there that tailor their techniques to Facebook's requirement that users real identities. There are some bad actors creating accounts using names and photos of real people, and then they send friend requests to a person's actual network, and others are stealing passwords and personal information to take over authentic accounts.
And this is like organized information crime. Facebook said that many of these accounts are not fully automated but coordinated by people who are dedicated to operating many of them at once. They synchronize their responses to content such as through likes and other postings, often in many places at the same time. The people in charge of the accounts may use them to make Facebook groups where they can spread false information, manipulate photos, and create inflammatory memes.
Yeah, and the worry here is when the actors become more sophisticated and human-like, Facebook is working to train its detection tools. Improvements to Facebook system, for example, can help it identify a spike in content from a group of accounts. And if someone is, you know, repeatedly posting the same thing, then Facebook also will know about it. Facebook said that the improved tools helped it take down more than 30,000 accounts during the election in France just this month.
Yeah, that's a lot, right? 30,000 accounts.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
And information operations took place during the US presidential election too. In some cases, people used fake accounts to amplify unspecified stolen data with the intent of harming the reputation of specific political targets. Once fake accounts posted erroneous information, it was inevitable that legitimate people continued to spread the message to their own networks. But still, you know, Facebook says the impact was statistically small.
Yeah, and the reach of the content shared by false amplifiers was marginal compared to the overall volume of civic content shared during the US elections. Right now, Facebook determines whether an account is authentic based on activity and not on the content of the post itself. As the company fights the spread of fake news on its platform, executives said that it wants to steer clear of being an arbiter of truth.
Yeah, but they're sitting at this very critical juncture, right?
They are.
Because some will seek to sort of undermine their vision, and this will also mean that Facebook is now the main editor of information, right? And that sounds really powerful.
Yeah, and then some people might ask if that's too powerful, right? You know, and again, it just boils down to education again and living in bubbles. How many people outside these bubbles are going to know about fake news? So, you know, it just comes back to the same old square one problem.
Yeah, I think they have a term for this. They call it echo chamber.
Echo chambers. So how that echo can't break outside those chambers. So some people argue, like, what's the point? And you know what else is really, really powerful? Diversity in tech jobs. But unfairness seems to be the main reason why tech employees are leaving their jobs as well. So stay with us. We'll talk about that next. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Angie and Arvin on Enterprise Biz Bytes. We're at the final story of the day, and you know, life isn't fair, right? And work is not. That's a good way to start the story. Life isn't fair, work's not fair, and tech isn't fair. So it's no surprise that unfairness or mistreatment of the most frequently cited reason for leaving a job voluntarily in tech, according to the Kapoor Center for Social Impact's Tech Leavers Study.
Yeah, so the study looked at four main types of unfair treatment, behaviors and experiences. So the first is unfair people management practices. Second is stereotyping. Third, sexual harassment. And lastly is bullying and hostility. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, turnover due to unfairness is a $16 billion per year problem, according to this study.
Yeah, but the silver lining, as pointed out in the study, is that people would be down to stay if companies took steps to improve the culture. Other takeaways from the study were that experiences differ dramatically among groups of people, depending on their race, their gender, and sexual orientation. For LGBT people and women, bullying was the main reason for reporting unfairness. For people of color, stereotypes were the main driver for leaving due to unfairness. Nearly one in four people of color surveyed reported being stereotyped at one of their past jobs.
Mm, and of those surveyed, white and Asian women reported the highest rates of dissatisfaction with their company's leadership teams. Meanwhile, 30% of the women from underrepresented minority groups reported being passed over for promotions at higher rates than white and Asian women. And I think also we just have to sort of clarify, this study is based in the US. Yeah,
it's based in the US. Mm. We've heard this before, like diversity in any company matters, right? So especially at this day and age, it matters even more in the tech sector for innovation, product development, meeting future workforce demands, closing wealth gaps. It's like a full package that goes on there. So unfairness in the form of everyday behavior, whether it's stereotyping, harassment, bullying, is a real destructive part of tech work environment.
Yeah, so here are some suggestions from the report on what companies can do to address unfairness. I guess this is also applicable to all companies here, even if you're listening and you have a company on your own, you can use this. So number one is develop and implement a diversity and inclusive strategy that starts with a very unambiguous leadership. So leadership that doesn't doubt, right, from the CEO and executive team. Make sure it's very, very comprehensive and implements multiple initiatives and also measures the effectiveness of the strategies.
Yeah, and then second suggestion is to create an inclusive culture. Best if you identify a set of core values, develop a code of conduct, and strive to constantly evaluate and improve the culture. What could help also is to speak to employees and survey them at regular intervals. Then you can gather data by each demographic group, and this helps to create transparency about culture issues.
Mm, and lastly is to develop effective and fair management process. I know we spoke about stupid rules that will drive your best employees earlier this week, right? And this might actually work out. This is targeted at a process and audits performance, and also allow you to mitigate biases at all stages of the employment life cycle.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, right, to know that bullying and all is like one of the main reasons people leave. Like, this shouldn't even be an issue, like, today. Yeah,
it should end at high school.
At high school, yeah. Don't bring it out of that. It shouldn't even be at high school, but if it's going to happen, then just stop when you're in, like, Form 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, with that note, we've come to the end of Enterprise Biz Bytes for today. Our first story was on Wikipedia launching a news platform that will bring journalists together with an army of volunteer fact-checkers, and they are calling it Wiki Tribune. Of course, the main goal of this website is to fight fake news.
Mm, and then we talked about a startup called Orbital Systems that had developed a shower system that cuts water usage by a dramatic 90% based on the founder's previous experience working on NASA project for a possible Mars mission. So they use sensors to detect water that is uncontaminated and simply loops it back round to be reused.
Yeah, and then we also covered Calvin Klein launching its new underwear campaign that features a celebrity lineup, and in that lineup, a 73-year-old model and actress, Lauren Hutton, was in it. Although we argued a little bit that Calvin Klein, maybe, you know, this ad campaign isn't as progressive as they think it is, you know, and when you compare to other fashion brands out there, like H&M put out like a campaign that includes all women of colors and sizes and all, that was a better way to do it. Again, not bashing Calvin Klein in any way, but this campaign alone, you know, maybe they could highlight the 73-year-old model a little more in this one.
Yep. And then we talked about Facebook is now combating organizations that have been taking advantage maliciously on Facebook's network by launching coordinated campaigns to spread lies and sway political opinion.
Yep. And then just now we highlighted results from a study on why tech employees quit their jobs. The reason is because of unfair work environments, and has four main categories, such as unfair people management practices, stereotyping, sexual harassment, and bullying.
Yep. And next up is the Breakfast Grill replay. His Excellency Dr. John Subritsky, the New Zealand High Commissioner to Malaysia, was the esteemed guest on the grill this morning. 2017 marks the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Malaysia and New Zealand, and total trade between our two nations stood at more than 6 billion ringgit as of 2016. His Excellency is here to offer his insights on the economic relationship between the two countries, as well as the challenges and opportunities that lay in the bilateral ties. And that's coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah, so that is all the time that we have for today. We hope you guys guys have a super enjoyable long weekend ahead. And if you're driving out of town, just be sure to be safe on the roads. Okay, so just enjoy the rest of your Friday. And thanks for listening. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj.
And I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.